couple of weeks ago, Pastor Shane preached right after Thanksgiving. And if you were here, you're probably like me and you still have the song going through your head. People are laughing. A thankful heart is a happy heart. The VeggieTales song. And we've even been playing it with our family demotions. Singing it because we really want that attitude of having a thankful heart and a happy heart instead of entitled. Because entitled can happen really easily at Christmas. People want their way, or we expect certain things. So we've been, Pastor Shane gave us that great reminder and message, and we've been using it. We thought we were going to play it every night. We haven't done it every night. We've done a lot. So thank you, Pastor Shane. And that message that he did, it was a really nice Sunday. And he talked about, he brought out this scripture where Paul wrote to us that we rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. And I was revved up and feeling thankful. And our family got to go meet Pastor Shane and Christian and Cameron and the Fry family at the Steak and Shake on Southport Road in 37. And I was excited to go because at Steak and Shake, the kids eat free on the weekend too. So that's an awesome deal. But as I was pulling in, they took off the Fries and Jenny, they took off a little before me. I was couple minutes behind, but when I pulled in, I was getting ready to get out of my car, and there's a police officer that pulled up right behind me, and he ended up writing me a ticket. I went all the way through. It was a right turn only, and I was in like fog mode from Sunday morning, and I went all the way through, so I didn't even know that I'd violated a law, but I got a really expensive ticket. And I remember going in there, I was kind of embarrassed because I figured they saw the lights and my kids and the Fries or looking at criminal pastor. And I remember walking in, and you know, Shane was the messenger. He wasn't the message, but, you know, that give thanks in all circumstances. Yeah, right. So I think I said to Shane something like, give thanks in all circumstances, like getting a really expensive ticket. And Shane, to his credit, was compassionate and said, no, don't give thanks for tickets. So I didn't. Believe me, I didn't, especially when I paid it. I didn't give thanks for it. But just even thinking about that ticket puts me in a bad mood. So I'm feeling kind of bah humbug. So let's look at, you know, there's things about Christmases that we probably don't like. Some people are awfully cheery about it, like Joshua Mott. But not everything's good about Christmas. Let's be honest. So we're gonna go over a top 10 list of things people don't like about Christmas. And what I want you to participate with me because misery loves company. So after we reveal one, I want to encourage you to respond by saying, bah, humbug. Let's be a grumpy church today, okay? All right, so top 10 things people don't like about Christmas. Number one, cold weather. Sorry, Marlon. Marlon's back here from Florida for a couple weeks. It's a bummer, isn't it? Number nine, the over-commercialization of everything. Bah, humbug. Number eight, excessive weight gain. Oh, wait, whoa, whoa, I'm off. Awkward encounters with eccentric relatives. Bah, humbug. Number seven, excessive weight gain. Bah, humbug. Number six, hearing songs like Jingle Bell Rock, Holly Jolly Christmas, and Rock Around the Christmas Tree over and over. Bah. Were people cheering those songs? Oh, man. Once or twice, maybe. Not over and over. Okay, let's look. Well, I think we're on number five. When kids don't get what they want and throw a temper tantrum. Bah, humbug. Number four. When adults don't get what they want and throw a temper tantrum. Bah, humbug. I don't know which one's worse. Probably four. Number three, the pressure of trying to find the right gifts and wondering if you have enough money to buy them. Bah, humbug. Number two, overcrowded stores with long lines and irritable people. Bah, humbug. Thank you, Amazon, right? Number one, the overall letdown of unmet expectations. Bah, humbug. Probably a lot of different people and a lot of different people in our families have different expectations revolving around Christmas time. And that can be difficult. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to admit that not everything is great for everybody. It's not a holly jolly Christmas, most wonderful time, best time of the year for everyone. For for some people, and maybe for a lot of people, Christmas is a tough time. And we want to acknowledge that this morning, and maybe Christmases have really not met your expectations for a long time. Maybe it's a time of frustration, disappointment, mourning. And if that's you this morning, we want you to know you're not alone, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to try to take an honest look at it and look for hope in there. We're going to start by trying to identify emotions in the Christmas story. So if you will help me out, we're going to read a few verses. These are from Luke's Christmas story, and see if you can pick out an emotion in here. So Luke, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Okay, what kind of emotion do you hear in that, right? Joy. Okay, so the next one, "For behold..." Then this is when Mary and Elizabeth were meeting. Amanda earlier had read this scripture. "But for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." What do you hear there? Joy. Okay. Next, this is Mary as she's just talking about what a blessing it is to be chosen. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." What do you hear there? Joy. Okay, and this is what the neighbor said about Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had the blessing of having a child in their old age. It was an unmet expectation that they'd have for years and years and years, and then they were blessed and celebrated the birth of a new one. It says, "And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her." What do you hear there? Okay, and this is the classic announcement of what Christmas is all about. This was what an angel said to shepherds. It says, "Fear not, for behold," in the next verse, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." What do you hear there? Joy. And Luke, when we read the Christmas story, there are two versions of it. Luke does a version, and he focuses a lot on Mary, and he has the shepherds and traveling to Bethlehem. And then there's another one that's Matthew. Matthew talks about the wise men, and he talks about Joseph. And there's not quite as much joy in Matthew's. When we read it, a lot of times we read Luke more often. But let's look at Matthew where there's joy. He's talking about the wise men. And when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. What do you see there? Joy. Joy is a big part of the Christmas season, and there's tons of joy in that statement, isn't there? And that's the wise men. A big difference between Luke's version and Matthew's is Matthew has a part just a little after that where it goes dark. And we don't often read that part of the Christmas story, but today we are going to look at it because it really is. And this is after the Magi left. This is what happens. "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." Tidings of comforting joy. Now, we have overjoyed wise men. We have the joy of the birth of Jesus, John the Baptist to his parents in their old age, an unlikely birth. We have joy when the shepherds who had kind of been neglected and forgotten were honored to see the angel and hear good news of great joy for all the people. But the news of Jesus' birth was not good news for these parents. In fact, the reason why they lost their little ones is because of Jesus' birth, and that was Herod's reaction. So I wonder, thinking about these people who are often overlooked in the Christmas story and what it was like for them if they were to ever think about the Christmas story, what would the angels If the angel appeared, what would the announcement? Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you this day in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. Herod will send his henchmen out and murder your children. I mean, that was sort of the sign that they got, wasn't it? Now, how would these people, if it's good news of great joy for all the people, what about these people? What about these people who lost their families because Jesus was born? I mean, obviously it wasn't Jesus' fault. It was Herod's insane reaction to the news of Jesus. But nonetheless, these kids died because Jesus was born. How do we reconcile Luke's good news of great joy for all the people with what Matthew's saying? These people lost their little ones, little boys, 2, 1, infants, and they refused to be comforted. How do we reconcile those two different Christmas accounts? 5 years ago, on December the 14th of 2012, our nation was just devastated with the news out of Newtown, Connecticut, with the Sandy Hook school shootings. I don't know where you were. Maybe you remember something about this, but a gunman went into a school and killed 20 first graders and 6 of the educators. And Benny took his own life. He'd killed his mom beforehand. But I remember that Christmas. It was a Friday, and just seeing those images, it was devastating to hear that this would happen. First graders, these are 6 and 7 year old kids at Christmas time, and senseless loss of life. It was personal for me because at the time I had a first grader too. My daughter Vila was in first grade, and I just remember hearing the news and watching the news and just feeling this sense of devastation, question, as you tried to think about what it would be like to be one of those parents who lost a loved one that Christmas season. That was a Friday, and on a Sunday, there was just this sense of heaviness that I had, and I just sensed a lot of people did too. So at our church, we wanted to address the school shooting, and we were just trying to figure out what to do. So what we ended up doing was we acknowledged it and prayed for the families and the situation, and we opened our service with a song by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. If you don't know anything about this song, it was a poem written by Longfellow in 1862. And he wrote this poem just 2 years after his beloved wife had died. She was burned in a fire. And it was just this excruciating loss for him. And then it was during the time of the Civil War, and he begged his son not to enlist, but his son did it anyway, behind his father's back, and he enlisted in the Union Army. And just a month before Christmas, Longfellow's son was severely wounded. He didn't die, but he was severely wounded in battle, fighting for the Union Army. And that Christmas, Longfellow was reflecting on what it was like. He'd lost his wife a couple years earlier. His son had just been maimed. The country was at war. All kinds of people that he knew were dying. It was a difficult time for him when he wrote, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, December, Christmas Day of 1862. And I think one of the things that makes this song so powerful is the next to the last stanza, as he's grappling with the darkness that he suffered with. He says, there is no peace on earth, I said. Good news of great joy for all people. For hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now these words are raw, but they're honest. Doesn't it seem that way a lot of times? Maybe in your life, or maybe you know people, it's like, is good news a great joy for all people? It's like, what about, well, hey Luke, if we were talking, what about those people in Matthew who lost their kids because Jesus was born and Herod reacted? What about those people? How do we reconcile Matthew and this tragedy that took place with Luke's good news of great joy for all the people? You know, I think for me, and I think for people, there's something that can even be comforting about Matthew's darker side of the Christmas story. Because when we think it's a holly jolly Christmas for everybody, we might feel alone. We might feel like we're the only one. Maybe you've gone through Facebook or Instagram and it looks like everybody's having a better Christmas than you. People have something that you wanted, but you don't have, and it's difficult. Maybe you mourn a dream that died, and Christmas every year is a reminder. There's some dream that you have that hasn't happened yet, or that you wanted to happen so desperately, but the dream is over. Maybe you mourn the child that never came, a marriage that ended. Maybe you mourn a loss. Every year you feel more acutely the losses that have piled on through the years, or maybe one in particular where you miss that person or those people acutely at Christmas, as there's a chair that's empty or a couch that's empty, and you miss and it hurts. Christmas is a difficult time for a lot of people. It was very difficult for the people who lost their children in Matthew. And that news, if we were just singing and the angels, if they appeared, I don't think they could have said the same things that they would have said to the shepherds, because those people, it could not have been good news of great joy to those people. So as we look at these two accounts, one thing that we need to acknowledge is that rejoicing is a big part of the Christmas story, and it's good. But so is weeping. Weeping is another part of the Christmas story. Mourning, grief is part of the Christmas story. So if you are here this morning and you feel grief, that's your experience with Christmas, disappointment, unmet expectations, embarrassment, grief, you are not alone. Matthew didn't leave you out of the Christmas story. God gave us two Christmas versions of the Christmas story. And I think this detail is important. I don't think we should overlook it, but there are people who suffered a lot of loss because of that first Christmas, and they wept and they refused to be comforted. Well, maybe at this point you're thinking, doesn't the Bible say that we rejoice always? Like Shane's verse, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always. Does it say that? Yeah, Paul wrote those things. Paul wrote, rejoice always. Say it again, rejoice. Give thanks in all circumstances. But you know something else he wrote? Something else that Paul wrote is in Romans 12:15. And he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This Christmas, we'll have opportunities to do both. If we were to visit with Mary and Elizabeth that first Christmas season, we would have rejoiced with those who rejoiced. If we would have visited those parents who were crying out and refused to be comforted, we could have mourned with those who mourn. Rejoicing and mourning are part of the Christmas story. Funerals are all a little different. There's always a sense of sadness, and sometimes there's relief, a person who'd suffered a lot. The saddest one by far I ever attended was of a boy who was not even a year old, and again, somehow my son was about the same age. He died in his sleep, in his crib, suffocated. And the thing that I remember from the funeral home, from the viewing and from the funeral, was that it's the only funeral I've ever attended where I don't remember seeing anyone smile. Like, there were just, smiles were not to be had. It seemed inappropriate to do any jokes or, like, it just seemed like all we could do, all people could do, was to just be quiet and solemn and weep, and that was it. That was it. Christmas is, it's a time for smiles and for hugs and laughs, and it's also a time for hugs and tears and sobs. People who refuse to be comforted, that can be appropriate at Christmas, and then people who are, whose hearts are merry and light and their troubles are out of sight. Christmas is for all that. It covers both. So let's listen to Paul this Christmas season. Let's look for opportunities to rejoice with those who rejoice. Bradley and Maggie have little Simon. It's baby's first Christmas. Man, at that Christmas, we would rejoice with those who rejoice because that is awesome. But then there may be others who are mourning loss, and it's only appropriate to mourn with those who mourn. So I want to encourage you just to ask these two questions. How can I rejoice with those who rejoice this Christmas season? How can I do it? How can I rejoice with those who rejoice? And second, how can I weep with those who weep? How can I weep with those who weep? So just I want to encourage you, ask those two questions. Maybe ask God to guide you, Holy Spirit, to lead you to somebody that you can mourn with, to lead you with, to someone you can rejoice with. Because Christmas is a time to rejoice, and it's a time to mourn. John Ortberg talks about the strange arithmetic of sharing experiences. And he says that it's just a strange arithmetic, a strange phenomenon. Because when we share joy with people, it increases. And when we share pain with people, it decreases. So let's be those people who do what Paul said. Follow that advice and rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And remember, it doesn't say make them rejoice or get them to stop weeping, fix problems. Just to simply let's be present with people this Christmas to rejoice and to weep when it's appropriate. And as, I think the thing that we find, as we rejoice and weep, we can be comforted because there's comfort in that. Weeping, it seems like it'll last forever. The people in Matthew, it says that those parents refused to be comforted. It seemed like it was going to be to last forever. But the message of the gospel, the message of Christmas, the message of Easter, is that weeping, sorrow lasts for a night, but joy does come in the morning. So weeping is a season, but it's not a permanent season like it seems like. So we can weep with hope. So let's do that. As we rejoice and weep, let's remember that it's a season. And that weeping seems like it'll last forever, but it doesn't, because joy is coming. Let me go back to Longfellow. I said the next to last stanza was what made the song, and it does, but it's because of the last stanza. So, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong. And mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then he closes with, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Both Matthew and Luke are good news of great joy for all people. Because whether we're rejoicing or weeping, Jesus will return. And as it says in Matthew 21, this is the hope that we have. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is good news for forgotten shepherds who got to rejoice. And it's good news for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. It's good news for Simon Hills and Bradley and Maggie who get to rejoice at baby's first Christmas. But it's also good news for parents in Newtown who have kids who would be 11 or 12 this Christmas season. It's good news for those who are crying in Ramah and Newtown and Indianapolis because there's hope to be comforted by the Prince of Peace. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are not dead, nor are you asleep. We live in a world where sometimes hate is strong, and it does mock the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Sometimes we rejoice and sometimes we mourn, and through it all we are dependent on you. Thank you for the gifts of peace, hope, joy, and love. And while we wait for you to wipe away every tear, teach us how to better rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. May we be a sense of joy and comfort to others. And may we be a blessing to you this Christmas season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.